Most of Paul's letters have one theme in common, and that is he deals, in most of his letters, with Judaizing teachers going behind him as he travels and goes through these churches, strengthening them, that they come behind him preaching the need that one must need to be circumcised according to the law of Moses to be saved. And the book of Galatians deals, as Donnie touched on this morning, the same thing, of that Paul deals with that in this book. About all of Paul's epistles, he commends the churches that he writes to some things that they were doing that was good, as well as some things that need to be corrected, such in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, of the immorality that was taking place there, that one had a wife, a woman she should not have. But he commends them in some degree for the good that they were doing. Paul does not do this in the book of Galatians. He simply gets to it quickly, as he states in verse 6, he is marveled that they're so soon turned away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, that you are turning, that they were in the process of going of what Paul had taught them concerning the gospel into a different direction. They were going back from that which they had come out under, and Paul was marveled at this. He was writing to him quickly to try to correct that error. He says in verse 10 of our scripture, but I have confidence in you that you will have no other mind other than what I have taught you. But still recognized the danger there. And he deals in verse 11 with the effects of preaching the cross and the effects of not preaching the cross. The lesson that we need to learn as we preach the cross today, if we do not preach it correctly, then the cross of Christ will not be of none effect in our preaching. So we have to preach what the cross is about in order for us to be effective today in our preaching. Paul said, "Now, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block or an offense, and to the Gentiles foolishness." In Romans 9, verse 33, Paul there says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame." The idea that you must believe on this rock. Of course, we know that rock is Christ. And he says, if you do that, you will not be ashamed. 1 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, "The stone, that is Christ or his teachings, which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense." And rock in this verse here in 1 Peter is the same verse, it's the same one that's used in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. When Christ says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So Christ is a rock, but it's also not having reference to just who he is, but what he taught, that he received from the Father to teach. This rock, that confession that Peter made, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," the rock is Jesus Christ again and his teachings. And so that's what we preach today. When you preach the cross, what do you preach? You preach Christ and him crucified and what he taught. And these verses that we look at, it's going to cause some to stumble if we preach it. And it's going to cause others to rise. It depends on how they accept the teaching that we teach, or that what Paul was teaching. And Paul saw the danger of the Judaizing teachers, the effect that he was having, causing some that they may stumble. And that's what the letter of Galatians is about. Offense means to cause to stumble. Strong states, "Is that what which grinds, as a millstone to grind grain." Christ and his teaching are a stumbling block to some. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 44, Christ there says, "Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." In other words, if you reject the teachings of the cross, it will grind you as a millstone would grind grain. But on the other hand, this teaching also will lift a person up. When you look at the prophecy of Christ in Luke chapter 2 and verse 34, it says concerning him, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken of." What would cause the fall and what would cause the rising? Again, it was the teaching of how people accepted that. If they rejected it, it would grind them as powder, into powder. And of course, they have led to them being lost. We are told in the latter part of 1 Peter 2 and verse 8 what causes one to stumble at Christ's teaching. Peter there says they stumble being disobedient to the word. And so it's how we accept or how one accepts the teachings of the cross, whether they rise or fall. It necessarily implies if disobedience causes one to fall, then obedience would cause one to rise. But again, we're looking at verse 11. What is Paul having reference to when he says the offense of the cross has ceased? In verse 7 of our scripture reading, Paul commends them that they had ran well. In other words, they had ran in the past, obedience. They had been obedient in the past. But now someone had hindered them or produced disobedience from obeying the truth. At one time they rose, and now Paul said you're in danger of falling. Some may have already have failed. But he says there's a danger there. He says the idea of who hindered you carries a thought, who drove you back from where you once were? You were once obedient to the teachings of Christ and the cross. Who drove you back to where you came from? In verse 8, Paul states, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Persuasion meaning to win you over. And Paul is asking, who persuaded you or drove you back to the road you once traveled? Paul says it did not come from the one who called you, that being Christ or Paul's preaching of Christ. We're called by the gospel, and Paul preached the gospel to them. Paul says, it's not from me or from Christ who persuaded you to go back. Who persuaded you to go back to the road that you came off of? And Paul says in verse 9, then a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But in this writing, Paul warns both Jew and Gentile. I think Donnie touched on the verse this morning, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, concerning the Jews. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ clearly portrayed among you as crucified? In verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or from the hearing of faith? He's having reference to the Jew. He said, you heard the word of faith. Who persuaded you to turn from that? When you look at chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, concerning the Gentile, Paul there says, but then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those who by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. He says, I'm afraid for you, talking to the Gentiles. Who's persuaded you to go back to observing these things? It was not through the preaching of the cross, because that's what the cross told you to leave, as well as the law of Moses to the Jew. And so he's warning them. As we mentioned in chapter 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20, concerning the Gentile, Paul there says, that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And Paul is saying you're in a danger of going back under this, to worshiping and serving idols again, because the cross is not being followed, or the teaching of the cross. Paul assures them at the close of this verse, he says, but he who troubles you, in verse 10, who troubles you shall bear his judgment. Such a one, whoever he is, God will judge. And we're not told who that person is or persons is, but evidently who's taught that the law of Moses was still in force, that it should be observed for salvation. But in verse 11, Paul starts this verse when he says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecutions? And evidently, they were teaching that Paul, who once taught the cross, is now preaching circumcision for salvation. Whether it comes from his the event that's recorded in Acts chapter 16 when he circumcised Timothy, that they make that observation that Paul believes in circumcision now for salvation? We don't know, or we're not told. But Paul says, if I preach circumcision, why am I still suffering persecution? And of course, his argument's going to be, this is what you believe, that circumcision is for salvation. If I'm preaching that, then why am I persecuted? And Paul is not saying, I preach circumcision, but others made the false claim, saying that Paul now preaches that which he once did not preach when he preached the cross. Like I said, we're not told of where this false information started. It could have started from Acts chapter 16, of when Timothy was circumcised by Paul. And that's for your study. Look there at that event and make your own application. But that others made that false claim. And Paul's argument is, if that be so, why am I still persecuted? His point was he would not be persecuted for preaching circumcision and the law of Moses, in that he was persecuted proved he was not teaching that. What was Paul teaching? He was still preaching the cross, which did not involve circumcision. Paul said, if it involved circumcision, I wouldn't be persecuted. But you're still persecuted, knowing that that was not what he was preaching. So Paul says, I still preach Christ and him crucified. The rock of offense, the latter part of this verse, Paul says, has ceased. In Paul's second argument on his preaching circumcision, some versions word it this way, then the stumbling block of the cross has been done away with. We look at what causes one to rise and fall. It's a gospel. If Paul preached circumcision and the law of Moses, his countrymen, if that's what the cross was about, would not have stumbled. But that was not what the cross was about. It was about salvation through the belief in Christ to Jew and Gentile. Had nothing to do with the law they came out of, or even the Jews. The New Living Translation reads on this verse, Paul says, if I'm still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say, why am I still persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through Jesus Christ, no one would be offended or caused to stumble, if that's what I was still preaching. That's Paul's argument. That you're taking away the effect of the cross. When he talks about here, then the offense of the cross has ceased. The cross will cause stumbling in someone if it's taught right. Because it's going to cause some to believe and some to disbelieve. And to the Jews, most of those disbelieve. It become a stumbling block to them, that teaching. And Paul said, if that's not what I was preaching, then you would not have stumbled. The offense of the cross has ceased. It's no longer in effect. But we know that it is. The fact that many were offended and stumbled assured those to whom Paul wrote that he was still preaching Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, Paul there says, I determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's preaching. And the question is, what about us today? When it comes to the preaching of the cross, do we make the offense of the cross through our teaching of none effect, by not fully preaching, as Paul did, the whole counsel of God? If we compromise with those around us, we're making the cross of none effect. The offense, it's going to cause people to stumble. Acts 20 and verse 7, if we fail to preach the whole counsel of God, we make the word of God worthless. Christ and the cross is about his death, burial, and resurrection, and his teaching. That is what we preach. And it's going to have an effect on some way, one way or the other. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many. How's our preaching? Do we preach that whole counsel of God? Or do we make the cross of Christ of none effect? If you're here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel, the laws of Christ has designated what one must do to have fellowship with him and the Father. He came that we could be reconciled to our Father. We could be brought back together, that our sins had separated us from our Father. And Christ came to reconcile that which was apart, Jew and Gentile, back to the Father, the Creator of both. We're told how to do this in a number of passages. The book of Acts is filled with those that the apostles preached to. And their message was the same as Peter preached on Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. It was not through any law that the Judaizing teach said you must be circumcised, or that which the Gentiles may have heeded to in their prior life. It was through the preaching of the cross. We're told that the blood of Christ is for a new covenant. We now have a new covenant, Matthew chapter 28. The blood of Christ brought about a new covenant. That's what we're under, not under the old law. That which the Jews failed to understand. But if you're not and you have not been obedient to the gospel, as we stand and sing, you'll have an opportunity to do so. Yeah.